When you are the father of a developmentally challenged child, a special needs child, you make choices that other parents just aren't going to make. Here's Joe Farini.
One day we got to go to the Cleveland Indians baseball game, and at the end of the game, they allowed all the children to run the bases. I mean, I'm talking children, 3, 4, 5-year-olds running the bases. And Joey said, you know, me go. Take a big gulp, and I said, okay, let's go down there. And so he was in his 20s at this time, 6-foot-something, and he's running the bases at Cleveland Indian Stadium there, and I'm right behind him in case he falls or anything. And but you know what? That's okay. That's all right. That's my kid.
This is Family Life Today for Tuesday, June 30th. Our host is the president of Family Life, Dennis Rainey, and I'm Bob Lapine. There are challenges that come with raising a special needs child, but there are some great joys that come along as well. We'll hear about those today. Stay tuned. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. You know, we've got a lot of folks who tune in each day, and I guess I don't necessarily stop to think about what's going on in their home and in their family. But for many of our listeners, there's a dynamic, there's a reality that we haven't really unpacked fully on our program. Families who are caring for special needs children, the family dynamic, when that's a part of your family and a part of your life, it changes a lot of stuff, doesn't it?
It does. As we heard earlier, there's about 50 million individuals caring for someone over the age of 18 and about 10 million caring for those under the age of 18. And it creates for, I hate to use the word interesting journey. I think the better term is a challenging journey. And Joe and Cindy Farini are not only friends, but are a couple who have been on this journey as well. They've written a book called The Unexpected Journey, When Special Needs Change Our Course. And Joe and Cindy, I want to welcome you back on the broadcast. And thank you guys for, in the midst of raising a son who has special needs, for also taking your weekends. And this humbles me, Bob, that this couple has given as many as 5 to 7 weekends a year to speak at our Weekend to Remember Marriage conferences around the country and help build marriages and families for the future.
And we were out together in Los Angeles, I don't know, but a little more than a year ago, and you had Joey with you, and you had, I think your daughter and her husband were with you as well. And
right, yes.
So we made a whole family vacation out of it. I was there all by myself, but they kind of adopted me into the Farini family for the weekend.
Grateful,
we had
man.
A great time.
And they have one more single daughter, right? Kathleen, about to turn.
Oh, and she was along on the trip, too. That's right. I'd forgotten about Kathleen. Sorry about that, Kathleen.
Yes.
Well, Joe is by trade a dentist, and we heard earlier how the course of your lives turned as you gave birth to your first son and found out that he had cerebral palsy. Right. And the drama that set up, not only in raising him, but also in your marriage. And I really want to start out here kind of going back to a bit of the story, because we heard, Joe, that you looked into his eyes at around the age of 5 months and recognized the look.
Right.
Because you, as a dentist, had served a course at Ohio State Dental School of dealing with those who had special needs.
That's right.
But you chose not to tell your wife, and it wasn't until 7, 8 months later?
Mm-hmm.
Cindy, that
yes.
you found out. I want to go back, and Cindy, looking back on that, did you feel a sense of betrayal, that your husband sensed something but didn't bring you into that?
Directly, the answer is no. And I think because we both probably were wondering and hoping it wasn't true. And I think when you go through something like this, sometimes you're in different places. And I'm the kind of person who, once I know something is a certain way, I try to deal with it. But change is not easy for me. And so in some ways, I felt that he was protecting me because there was going to be a lot of change. And on the other hand, I think when I did begin to wonder and notice on my own, I think I was in a better place because I had the opportunity to think more, see more, talk to the doctors, and begin to allow it to really sort of, if you will, saturate my life, because that's exactly what was going to be happening around the corner. Everything was going to be new for us.
Joe, did you intentionally not tell Cindy what you suspected because you knew this about her and knew that it would throw her if you did?
Right. There were a couple of things, reason for me not telling her what my suspicion was. And that's all it was suspicion, because I didn't have that definitive diagnosis from a physician or a professional. And so I thought, you know, there's no sense in me getting her kind of worked up on this thing. It was bad enough I was worked up on this thing. But, I mean, I was pretty confident that there was something not right with my son. And so I'm just going to be quiet for a while and just see what happens with him.
And, Cindy, when the doctor told you, you finally pressed him into the corner and said, okay, I know you can't give me an official diagnosis, but what do you think? And he said, I think your son has cerebral palsy, and I think that he's mentally retarded. How long was it before that suspicion was an actual confirmed diagnosis? And then what did that mean once it was a confirmed diagnosis?
Well, it was probably maybe even as much as 6 months to a year. The timing is a little fuzzy in my head, but when we were at that little party for my son when he was 1 year old and all the children were doing things that he wasn't doing, any of them. He couldn't even put a stone in his hand to toss it into the pond. Mm. We had to put it in his hand and fling his arm. And all these other kids were doing that and much, much more. And at that time, there was a gal at that get-together that went to talk to my mom and expressed to her concerns that there was more to what might be wrong with Joey than we're getting word of. And I was very appreciative of that because she did it out of love. And that is a very tough step to take for anyone to air their concerns, one, to my mother, that whom she did not know very well, but also to me as a friend, because she didn't know how I would respond. And when you have a child, I mean, you want that child to be everything you dreamed it would be. So to hear someone, anyone, telling you differently, it can be quite shocking. Mm-hmm. But I was very appreciative even then that she took that step, because I recognized what a sacrifice that was for her to take that step out and do that.
So when the doctor then finally did come and say, okay, it's official, your son has cerebral palsy and your son is mentally retarded, were you ready for that diagnosis at that point because you had some suspicion and you'd done your homework, or was it still a cold slap in the face?
Yeah, we did some homework on this before. I mean, I did some investigation on it. Cindy did some reading on it as well. And I, at the end of my my research, I basically said, you know, I think Joey has cerebral palsy. And so I kind of went into that meeting, and Cindy and I think we both went into that meeting with our doctor, having prepared ourselves for this. But even though we were somewhat prepared for this, when he said those words, it was kind of like we were stunned. We were frozen in time there. And we just couldn't move, as I recall the situation. We just couldn't move.
Well, I think anytime you have someone share something so impactful like that, you just think that that's not going to happen to you. It is not going to happen to you. How many times have we heard people say, I could never handle caring for a special needs person, adult. I don't have the personality for that. Well, I can assure you, neither one of us have the personality for that either. But God gives you what you need, and God will also supply you along the way. You know, Joey very well could be placed somewhere else, although he is, you know, he's able to be mobile and he can talk a little bit, but he's very hard to understand. and he has some behavioral issues that are very challenging occasionally. And we could have made other decisions along the way, but our choice was to honor God in raising this son and raising the son to know Jesus.
Let's talk for a moment what that duty looks like.
Well, and you talk about other choices, the duty versus the other choices. When you say there were other choices, are you talking about you could put him in some kind of an institution, a care facility where you go visit him from time to time, and that's the end of your responsibility? Is that what you mean by other choices?
Yes, certainly. And we have visited places like that where there are children who are every bit as capable as Joey is, but whose parents, for whatever reason, have chosen either because they can't take care of them or don't want to take care of them. And because it is a job that is 24/7, it can be daunting.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many people who really feel at that point, I don't think I can do this.
And some of the folks we're talking to have made that decision.
Yes.
And you've talked to folks who have made that decision.
Yes.
Are you saying they've made the wrong decision?
I think everyone has to make the decision that is best for them. We have had situations in our lives where the child could not be in the home. It was destructive. It was unsafe, sometimes life-threatening. And so I would never tell someone they should or shouldn't do it. In our life, we knew that we could manage this duty with the help of the Lord, and we would do it with his help.
Clearly, there are different degrees of disabilities. And so we would never generalize a statement like that and say, you know, because you did that, you're wrong. That is not our thoughts at all.
But here's what your duty, your decision meant. I mean, it meant a lot of things, but it meant that your own personal freedoms were going to be, there wasn't going to be as much as most adults have.
Right.
It meant that your daughters were going to grow up in a very different kind of a home than most daughters grow up in. It meant that ministry, and you talked about wanting to do ministry together as a couple. Now, all of a sudden, those ministry opportunities were going to be set aside. There had to be some long, hard talks about maybe the best thing for everyone would be if Joey had, maybe it'd be the best thing for him to have full-time care in one of these mm-hmm. care facilities. Maybe that'd be the best thing for us. Did you have a lot of long talks about that?
Well, I can tell you that I would have probably never done that. If I never got to go out of my house again, I probably would have served at home caring for my son. I don't think my personality would have allowed for me to allow for my son to be taken from me.
You know, we've talked a lot about Joey and lessons you've learned. Describe him to me. I mean, and I want each of you to tell me your favorite Joey story. I mean, you've mentioned he has cerebral palsy and that he's mentally retarded. What does that mean? I mean, practically speaking, at the age of 27.
Well, at 27, physically he is, believe this or not, he is 6'3", so he's very tall. And since Dad is not that tall, it looks really funny in a family picture because we're all about the same height. And then there's Joey, who looks like, you know, this big tall tree in the midst of all of us. But he's really quite delightful. He actually has a very nice sense of humor. In terms of the cerebral palsy, he's not in a wheelchair. He is mobile, but his gait is very obvious. He has a little bit of a limp. His legs are very thin. When you talk about how do those kids stand on those legs that are so thin that look like toothpicks, they really look like toothpicks. They're real thin and skinny. And his highest functioning aspect is his reading skills, which to us is a great blessing because at a fourth grade level, he is able to read signs. He's able to read simple books and really takes a lot of time to do so. Maybe even can read a little of the sports page and see what's happening with his special teams. But he just can make us laugh sometimes. Maybe if I could share one story. We were coming home from his place of work, which is a supervised work experience. He really cannot be alone because if someone came and said, Joey, come with me, he would go. Hmm. He would go with anyone. And so We transport him to work every day and home, which is about 13,000 miles every year. And so that's a commitment right there. Talk about love. Anyway, so we were driving home one day, and there was a billboard. And in our area, there's a place called Fish Furniture. And he just started laughing. And he looked at me, and he said, "Fish? Furniture?" Like, what would fish do with furniture? And, you know, never in my mind would I even have thought like that, because it's just the fish company furniture.
You know, you hear stories like that, and it's delightful, and yet I know there have been times, Cindy, when you'll be talking to a friend, and she'll say, "Oh, I got together with a bunch of moms recently for lunch, and we just had the best time," and you're thinking, "I would like to get together with some friends for lunch and have the best time." Right. And that's not the path I'm on. Or Joe, you hear about some guys getting together and doing something, you go, that's just not a part of my life. I don't get to do that.
Right. Yeah.
What do you do with those feelings when they happen?
Yeah. That's a tough one. That is a tough one. You know, we just have to take each situation by itself. I mean, we have a church baseball league that everybody loves Joey. And so when we come there, you know, they'll give Joey a ball, and, you know, he'll just kind of lob it back to them. And they gave him a t-shirt to wear for the team. But, you know, he's happy just cheering for the team, you know. And one day we got to go to the Cleveland Indians baseball game, and at the end of the game, they allowed all the children to run the bases. I mean, I'm talking children, 3, 4, 5-year-olds running the bases. And Joey said, "You know, me go." I said, "Okay."
He was how old?
He was in his 20s at this time, 6 foot something. And I take a big gulp, and I said, "Okay, let's go down there." And so he's running the bases at Cleveland Indian Stadium there, and I'm right behind him in case he falls or anything. But you know what? That's okay. That's all right. That's my kid, and I'm just gonna. He wants to do that, and he can do that. I'm happy to do that. And we've had Joey in Special Olympics. We've had him do Soapbox Derby, special edition of Soapbox Derby, and he's gone as far as he can go in those things, because that's still that coach thing back in my head. You know, I want my kid to do something like that. And he did the very best that he could do. And that's all I could ask. I mean, as his dad, that's all I can ask of him.
As I listen to this story, I think, you know, if there was a school that you could enroll in to learn how to be a great lover of people, you'd think there'd be a great line forming outside that school. The problem is, as you all have experienced, the route of learning how to be a great lover is not downhill.
It's a pretty rigorous course they put you through at that school.
That's right.
You know, the challenges you guys have faced in your marriage, in your family, and as Bob pointed out, in your personal lives, dying to self and constantly having to give up your expectations. And yet, the verse I read earlier, Romans 8:28, how God uses, how God promises to use all things, everything that happens in our lives for good. Mm-hmm. It's not for evil if we will respond by faith.
That's right.
But you have to choose to respond in faith to Him.
It's a choice.
And you can turn away from God and become embittered and angry and just cave in to becoming furious and full of bitterness and resentment. And I could see how that'd be very easy to do, but that's hopeless. That is absolute hopelessness.
I would love to be able to tell you that was easy for me, but that was not easy for me. You know, it was a definite crossroads in my life when, you know, I shook my fist at God and say, "How dare you do this to my son?" Or in my mind, I knew that I had to accept him, as this was God's will for our lives. And I wish I could tell you that was easy for me. It took me 30 seconds. It took a while for me to cross that line. And but you know, by God's grace and the prayers of many people, we were able to resolve that issue in our lives and say, okay, God, I accept this gift that you've given me and my son just the way you want him to be.
And as you mentioned, you're not alone.
Right.
Your book, Unexpected Journey, is just full of stories of others who have been on this this rigorous road as well, and they give us courage. Those stories remind us of what's right and of how others have experienced it and how they have dealt with it.
Yeah, and the thing that I think so many people appreciate about the book is how honest and transparent you are. You're not sugarcoating the situation. You are showing other parents how you have fleshed this out in the midst of real emotions, real challenges, real struggles, and yet real faith. And this is a great book to pass along to parents who have a special needs child. And I want to encourage our listeners to go to our website, familylifetoday.com, and just stop and think for a moment. How many parents do you know who are dealing with an autistic child or a child with cerebral palsy or a child who has any kind of a special need? Order multiple copies of Joe and Cindy's book and then give them as a gift to your friends. Again, we have copies in our Family Life Today Resource Center. Go to familylifetoday.com, and the information you need about how to order a copy of the book online is available there. Again, it's familylifetoday.com, or call 1-800-FL-TODAY, and you can get information over the phone about how to get a copy of Joe and Cindy's book. And let me also mention, many folks have been contacting us about the brand new book from your wife Barbara, Dennis, and your daughter Rebecca. The book is called A Symphony in the Dark, and in this book, they talk about the lessons that they learned and the lessons that all of you learned as a family as you faced the death of your granddaughter, Molly, a year ago. And again, this is a book that you may want to pass along to a parent you know who has experienced the loss of a son or a daughter in recent days. The book is called A Symphony in the Dark, and we have copies in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can find out more or order online at familylifetoday.com, or by calling 1-800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. You know, the reality is that we will all experience trials in life. There is going to be suffering that accompanies certain seasons of our lives, and we need to know how to walk the path when we're experiencing trials. How do you walk that path in faith? Not long ago, Dennis Rainey gave a message to our staff here at Family Life from Psalm 34 called Trials and Tribulations, Encouragement, Hope, and Help found in Psalm 34. And this month, we're making the CD of that message available to listeners who can support the ministry of Family Life Today with a donation of any amount. Actually, this has been a challenging year for us at Family Life, as it has been for many nonprofits and for many families. We've seen a decline in donations to our ministry. We've had to make some hard choices in the midst of this challenging economy. And it's at times like this that we need to be reminded of what God says is true. And that's what Dennis does for us in this message from Psalm 34. If you can help with a donation of any amount to support the ministry of Family Life Today this month, feel free to request a copy of the CD from Dennis on Trials and Tribulations. All you have to do to request the CD is type the word trials in the key code box on the online donation form, or call 1-800-FL-TODAY, 1-800-358-6329, 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. And when you make a donation over the phone, you can request a copy of this CD on Trials and Tribulations. And again, we're happy to send it out to you. We very much appreciate your support of this ministry. And we hope you can be back with us tomorrow. We're going to be talking with Joe and Cindy Farini about the special pressure that is put on a marriage relationship when you're raising a child with unique physical challenges and needs. I hope you can join us for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, and our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We will see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.